Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 85, Sin. Today is Friday, February 13th, 2009.
Goes and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathered canyons everywhere. But now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all.
Thank you for joining me today, Friday the 13th. This is episode 85, Sin. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday, the hours of 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. So do not be shy. If you need food, call us. Regarding the state of Minnesota, we have no boundaries, so you can call us and come in anywhere in the state of Minnesota. Believe me, it's worth your trip. If you're living a little bit out of the metro area where we're located, it's worth a trip to come in. We have a lot of food, a lot of really good frozen, fresh, and refrigerated food, canned goods, dry goods, everything. So it is worth your trip. You can also join our community at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. So if you want to support our outreach to people in Minnesota, be sure to send us a check, or you can donate online as well. I'd prefer a check. Let's leave those credit cards where they lie for a while. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to our blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go check those interactive links out. For instance, on the blog now, Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find the show notes to today's episode. So if you'll go there, you're going to find all kinds of links as well as information about today's podcast. So be sure to go there and check it out. And you can also subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. So do that, and that way the episodes are sent directly to you. You can also call our comment line, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to call the comment line if you'd like to talk to either me or Pastor Paul. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. In today's message, it's really a good message about sin, and that's why I chose the song by Judy Collins, Both Sides Now, because, you know, looking at sin from both sides, Pastor Paul's message is about deliverance from sin. And in order to be delivered from sin, we have to recognize that we actually have it. Some people don't think they sin. So in order to be delivered from sin, you have to really understand both sides. And I think people that understand both sides are those people that really show mercy and grace and forgiveness to people. But then again, that's just my opinion. Ah, sounds like Dennis Miller. I'll put a link to Dennis in the show notes. I have a link to the 7-year itch. Pastor Paul talks about that. And another couple links I thought were just kind of came to me was that the message is about unadulterated sin. And then I have that's a bonus link, as well as an oxymoron. So I looked those up, trying to expand my vocabulary. Anyways, what a week. This message runs about 90 minutes, so I'll be wrapping it up here. I won't go into any big, long stories, but I hope you have a great week. And then coming up next Friday, be sure to join us. And like I said, just subscribe so that you'll get the message all the time. Next episode is, Lord, It's So Hard to Be Humble. Not if you're me. God bless you and have a great week.
Something hasn't been ministered on for some time, and I know a lot of times it isn't even heard of in a church. Just don't minister that. But tonight's tape is entitled, You Can Turn Me On, Sin. You just don't talk about it a whole lot. Tonight we're going to look at sin. You know, what was sin 50 years ago and 30 years ago and 40 or 10 years and 5 years, even 2 years ago, isn't sin anymore. And the hearts are hardening faster and faster and faster. I mean, we're doing things now 50 years ago, they would have took you out and shot you. You know, and even a couple years ago. But we get sort of like we got shock absorbers in our mind. We just able to ride with it, you know. So let's look at sin tonight. It's the springhead and its stream and then its sea. Where it springs from, where it streams to, and then the final place, the sea. Psalm 106 and 7 says, Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitudes of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. And here we have a long, long confession. You know something about a confession? It is the quickest way to get an answer to your prayer. Got something on your heart and something you know that is sin. Well, maybe it isn't even called sin nowadays, but you know in your heart and you know it's sin and something's bothering you and you even have to pray the Lord, reveal that which is in my heart. When he does, we confess that as sin, and that's the quickest way for God to hear our prayers. Confess your faults, it says in the Bible, one another that you may be healed, and confess your faults to God that he may hear you. We have our Father's eyes. We inherit our Father's sin. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, my Father's eyes, I've got my Father's eyes, something like that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and as is the nature, such is the conduct. Now, the conduct of the flesh is not all that good. Get mad, it's rebellious, it gets mean, gets tired, it gets bored, gets lazy, it gets a whole lot of things, doesn't it? So we have our Father's eyes, and we inherit our Father's sin, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And verse 6 says, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Now you get to a point in your spiritual life where you think, well, now I'm past all that. But just every once in a while you get an itch. In the world they call it the 7-year itch. It's sin. And your flesh sort of crawls on you, all over your whole body. Just aching to get into something, isn't it? Or aching to get out of something. One of the two, it's an itch, and you feel like there's something missing, kind of like when you go to the icebox. I want something to eat, but I don't know what it is. And there's everything in there, but nothing satisfies you. And it's the same way it is when the sin nature takes hold and we forget to read the Word of God and we haven't been praying just like we should. We're out of fellowship and maybe we're into a little bit of rebellion and we're sinning in our minds. And we get that itch and we get that yearn and we get that pull and we start to make excuses. Are you hearing? This is an important message tonight. And we get that itch, and our skin sort of wants to crawl, and we want to get into something. Just about the time we think, oh, we got a whipped. We have to return to the grace of God. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. I believe if we must mention our father's faults, it is not a smokescreen for ourselves, because let me tell you, our lives are by no means brighter than theirs. There is nothing new under the sun. You are born with a sin nature. You're going to go through life with it. You're going to die with it. Well, you see, that's a negative confession. No, it's just telling you the truth so you can beware. So you can pray and say, Father, I need you right now. I need your guidance. I feel that 7-year itch coming on. I feel that pull of the world to go on out or to pull back. And I believe it's not because the fathers have eaten sour grapes that the children's teeth are set on edge. For I believe ourselves we have greedily gulped down those clusters of grapes, of evil grapes. Don't you believe that? All by ourselves. So we can say, yes, we share the same thing our fathers had through the bloodline, through an inheritance, but we by ourselves are fashioned. And in our flesh, we have a desire to go on out and sin. And if we say not, we're a liar. Any man say he be without sin, he's a liar and there's no truth in him. See, and the Bible says, know yourself. No, if you're sitting back and you're not doing anything and you're not busy, you're going to get into sin. That's just the way it is. When you're not actively involved, and even when you are, sometimes a pull is real great. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, you shouldn't be talking this way. You're a preacher. Hey. How many are hearing this? Says we have sinned with our fathers. Sort of like looking in the mirror. The face answers face to face. and so the heart of man to man. What do you mean? When we read of someone else's sins, or we even read in the Bible of someone else's sins, or in the paper, or see this, or hear about it, we ought to be humbled and we ought to be warned. When you see someone fall into a terrible sin, that's a warning for you. And don't just say, well, how could they ever have fallen into that terrible sin? I'll pray for them. But don't get to wondering why, or your flesh will start to itch and crawl, and you'll go find out. How many are hearing this? Oh, I don't know. Tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. Judge not, and it says, we are all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. Does it say some? Everyone. Now, you're going to have your own way. Come on, come on, come on, come on. People want to have their own way unless they are depending on the Lord, saying, Lord, I know myself. Have your way with me in this thing, and by your grace, I'll stay out of it. Everyone wants to go their own way. You don't want to know why? Because we want to have the glory. Ooh, that feels good. Oh, we'll cover it up. But in the end, if we don't get the glory or piece of the glory, and God says he won't share his glory with anyone, we still in the flesh want to have some of that glory. Someone says, oh, what a beautiful job you've done. You say, well, praise God. By God's grace, I did do it. Don't glory in yourself. Just simply say thank you. Don't say, hey, hold it. Hey, God did it. And you're trying to convince yourself or someone else. Don't overdo it. Just say thank you and go on to the next thing. So many ways of the flesh can trick us. Then we feel so bad when we fall and we're going along and we're having a busy day and all of a sudden everybody thinks we're just a prince of a fellow and we say, shut up! And go, oh God. Why did I blow it? I blow it every time I'm going along. I'm on cloud nine and I blow it. Oh, now everybody knows me. God, know yourself. Everybody else does. Isn't that funny? Everybody knows us but ourselves. You know why? They know themselves, but they don't point at themselves. They point at you, which is themselves. I mean, sitting here tonight or listening on this radio to this tape, are there anyone listening that would like to erect a statue, let's say, a monument to your own glory? Sort of a Statue of Liberty, if you will. Methinks not. Because as we cannot boast in pedigree, because it says we are the children of sinners, so then we also cannot exalt ourselves because of our own personal excellence. Excellent. You know what? It's only the grace of God, hallelujah. And you got to stop. And you got to pray, and you got to say, praise the Lord. He hath done it. For there is none that doeth good, the Bible says, no, not one. Oh, come on now. I know people have done some good, and I've done some good myself. I believe it, but I don't believe it all the way. No, it's not good according to God, you understand? Because there's always that fleck of self in there. Is that right? No. I'm without it. I'm cleansed clear through and through and through. Well, you keep saying that, and you're going to fall right down flat on your face and blow it again. Now, how many are hearing this? You're going to blow it. I don't care how prettily you smile or how many... Oh, you're just an Ipana type person. That's not the way it is. I And you know what? God will show you yourself and you're going to fall right on your face. About the time you think you got sin conquered, hey, and you take off the armor, you lay down the sword, say, hey, I'm sure glad I read them 14 books on how to beat sin. I got it all up here. That don't mean nothing. Sin can beat you 17 different ways. You know why? The flesh agrees with it greedily. Loves to eat them old sour grapes. So we have to beware of the devil, the Bible says. Now, I believe we must come before God as a race, as a people, and then also as individuals, and cry unto him in the words of the 47th verse, save us, O Lord, our God. Well, you make it sound so boring, like we can't get credit for any one little thing. Hey, you're not made to hold glory. Say amen, somebody. You are God's glory. Not your own glory, but God's glory. And so, while you might be filled with glory, it's God's glory. So give the glory to God. It says, give your bodies to God. Give your bodies filled with the glory of God to God. Now, isn't that good enough? See, because if you get off all by yourself and get over here, glory to be. You're all shining and people say, wow, this person is God. Don't we want to have a little piece of that action? It's getting kind of quiet in here. Getting awful quiet on the radio and the tape ministry. Well, it may help us to look back and see our natural depravities and see the causes of our father's sins. To confess our personal sin, I believe, will tend to keep us humble. Now, I've been humbled 4 or 5 times just today because I become not nutso conscious of myself. You know, not quivery, weirdo conscious of myself, but conscious of myself nevertheless. And I become conscious to the fact that there's sin dwelling in me. And so the more I grow in God, the more that I'm aware of the sin that's in me. That's how I grow. When I'm aware of that which is within and have God by his grace take it out and replace it. So it's a never-ending battle. And it has to be done by the grace of God, and it's a continual deliverance, if you will, from yourself. And the minute we forget that, it starts to pile up. And then our next thing we try to do is cover it up. We try to cover up. Don't try to cover it up. Confess it. Maybe there's a day you get up and you hate people. I mean, you cannot stand them. That's your sin nature. Literally hate them. I mean, violently, you get mad and you say, you know something, I hate people. And then you feel bad because you're all full of this glory the other day. Well, that's because you tried to hog it off for yourself. You want to know something? God's just showing you your old sin nature, and there's a lot of cleaning up to do yet. It's for your own good. Like I say, not so you get nutso, but I must tell you something. That's the way it is with all folks. All have sinned and have fallen short God's glory. Say amen, somebody. Now, I know this is a hard message for a lot of folks. They just built themselves up. Man, their wings, they hit on the edges of the door when they pass on through. But you know, it'll give us a view of the Lord's mercy, which has spared us, which has pardoned us, which gives us, and glory to God, it's good, a sense of guilt. And that sense of guilt makes us grateful. I sin in my mind, and I think back on the Lord, and I say, He hath done it. And I say, oh, I felt rotten, but it makes me grateful to the Lord. Now I feel better. It keeps my eyes on Jesus. And it keeps me from judging everybody else. I have been humbled, and therefore I'm open to the Spirit of the Lord and for the guidance of the Lord and for the protection of the Lord and for the love of the Lord, because I have been humbled by seeing myself, and the Bible says, see Jesus only, and so now I have to look at Jesus. I say, I see Jesus only. I can't see myself. Because the less we think of ourselves, the more we shall think of Him whose mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. And I believe if we see where our fathers' sins began, and we see how they grew, and we see what they came to, then and then only we may hope that the Spirit of God will help us to turn from the fountainheads of those iniquities. Turn away from those fountainheads and turn to the Lord. But before we turn to the Lord, we have to turn away from the fountainhead. And that's what I'm talking about. We always turn towards the fountainhead of sin, and we're seeking God with that fountainhead gushing sin water over us. And it doesn't work. But you know what it'll bring when we turn away from that? It'll bring a repentance and it'll bring a holiness. Because the turning away from our earthly fathers will lead us to our heavenly Father. Our Father says, be ye followers of God as dear children. So now we're not following after the lust of the flesh. We're following after our God, our Jehovah God, as dear children. We don't imitate, I'm saying, our fathers of this world, the flesh, but we start to imitate Christ. We start to imitate God. Because great things, whether they're good or evil, they have started with the littles. How many know what I mean by the littles? Ooh. It says in the world, don't let the salesman get his foot in the door. Next thing you know, his fingers are crawling around the door. Next thing you know, he's opening up. Next thing, he's got his lips in there talking at you. Okay? I remember several years ago, we took the kids and we went up to the beginning of the Mississippi River. You know how wide it is? It's about like that. It's rippling over a few little stones. And I thought, you mean this is the mighty Mississippi? Oh, this is not nothing. And we just hopped right across them stones and went right across. It was nothing to it. How many heard that? But as it goes down, and it starts to go downstream, it gets wider and wider and wider and wider and wider. But as you know, as it keeps going on down from all the tributaries and all the different things, it starts to get polluted. By the time it gets out to the sea, it is pollution. How many know it's the same way when we allow a little bit of sin into our lives? And I talked to a young man that had trouble with these pornographic materials, and try as he may, he could not lay these things down. He would go for 6 or 7 or 8 months, and oh great, he went, and the grace of God was carrying him through. Then all of a sudden he started to get the 7-year itch. It's called 7-month itch. And he started to itch and start to crawl, and he started thinking about them pictures. It was almost like he was driven to it. Getting kind of quiet in here again. The radio's pretty near dead. I think a whole lot of people turned their tape recorder off. But now and right now is to turn to the grace of God. Now you'll think the next day, now I got it whipped, I got the secret. Don't say that. Start giving the glory to God. Don't say, I got it whipped, because the next thing you're going to be doing is looking under the mattress where you hid that old thing. So nobody would find it. You're going to be laying off in some old corner reading that thing. Someone's going to come in and catch you, and that's just God's grace to make sure that you get delivered. You've been praying for deliverance. God couldn't deliver you no other way, so he had somebody catch you. There, everybody thought you were so spiritual. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. The only spirituality that we have is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry. No, I ain't sorry. That's the truth. Why be sorry for telling the truth? Woo! And you get that seven-year itch and you get that crawling. How many heard that one? See, it's easy to get away from the grace of God. See, you just get so high up here on Whippoorwill Mountain, see. You know what I mean? You get so high, you forget about God. And so all of a sudden, little flirtations start. Little inklings of sin start. Little suggestions are made to your frontal lobes. You know what your frontal lobes are? These two things up in here. And the sin nature starts working. Pretty soon you're thinking thoughts you shouldn't think. Why? It all happened up there on top of Whippoorwill Mountain. You forgot all about giving God a little bit of glory, and there you were up on Whippoorwill Mountain. I left my love on Whippoorwill Mountain, and Whippoorwill Mountain up on top of there is you. You found yourself again up on Whippoorwill Mountain. Got to come down out of that thing, and you got to look at the thing and say, but for the grace of God, there I am. Just like any of those sinners out there, I am a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I live by grace, and the life that I now live, I live by faith. And the faith that I have is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in myself. Ooh, but isn't sin like that? Isn't it like the little stream? It starts out with a thought. How many have had thoughts this week? Now, I know by your raising your hands, they were dirty thoughts, okay? Because if I said, how many had thoughts this week and they were all clean, nobody would raise their hand. You know why? That's the way people's brains work. Isn't that right? Say amen, raise your hands, and praise the Lord. But as we have that thought and we continue in them thought patterns, you know what happens? It increases to a resolve. That means a word or an act. And then it gathers force, don't you see? And then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes a daring rebellion. I am going to read this pornography. It's just art. There's nothing wrong with it. Now you go ahead and tell yourself it's all right. And you get done and you're all bummed out. Oh, God, I'm warmed up. I feel awful. Well, your flesh is satisfied momentarily, don't you see? So it does. Now you don't want nothing to do with it. And the devil says, now aren't you a filthy, dirty, nasty thing? Look at you. And so you half repent, and you don't burn the old magazine, you slip it back under the mattress again so no one will find it. And you start to get into, oh, I guess it's okay to read these things or go to these filthy old things. Well, what's the difference anyway? Who cares? Oh, God, I know a lot of Christians that are dirtier than can be, huh? Then you start to make up things, and you start to fashion things in your own mind so you can feel better about what you're doing. See, one sin step, you know what it does? It leads to a worse one. How many are hearing this? A little petting is all right. Who says so? I mean, no, a little petting doesn't work. Doesn't work. Well, I mean, we're in love. Well, a little pet turns to a little pet, and then you get crazy and you don't know where you're at, okay? Say amen, somebody. Yeah. Don't you be fooling yourself and say, oh, I don't know. He's such a hunk. Huh? Yeah, you just keep playing with it and you're going to be in trouble. Say amen, somebody. You know what's going to keep us away from those types of things? The grace of God. Say amen. Oh, but why do you preach this way? Golly, I've been a Christian for years and I've never had them thoughts. You are a liar. How many are hearing this? The devil hits his people the same old way all the time. The only thing is some people, they join in with it and they buy the junk and go to the junk and live in the junk, and then they think that, well, I can leave it anytime I want to. It's kind of like an alcoholic. I can have a drink and I can throw that bottle out the window anytime I want to as he's slurping down a quart. For not observing then is followed by not remembering, and forgetfulness of duty draws on disobedience. Did you hear that? Draws on it. And what else is it drawn? Rebellion. And rebellion is a spirit. And rebellion is the same spirit that which is called witchcraft. And so first let's notice that the want then, the want of understanding lies at the fountainhead of sin. Lack of understanding, and that's what I'm trying to bring about here. Holy Ghost willing, I hope that I do, and through my own life's patterns, Holy Spirit, remind and inject those things that will help those that are out there and listening to this tape and radio, so that a message will, you know, intercept the thought and say, here's an understanding that you can go with, and we can cut off that fountainhead. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, the Bible says. Out of this lack of understanding comes, I believe, the greater offense of ungrateful forgetfulness, a failure of memory, if you will, follows upon a want of understanding. If you don't understand something, you're going to have loss of memory because it isn't locked in there. And so to fully understand your sin nature, it's going to take a revealing by the Holy Ghost so that you fully understand the workings of the Holy Spirit and you understand what sin really is within your members, glory to God. And when you have an understanding of what it can do in your life, and when you have an understanding of how it works, then it will get caught up in your memory and you will know, glory to God, the way out and the way away from the fountainhead of sin. Well, how do you know all that? By a whole lot of trial and error. I was 40 years old before I came to know Jesus. Say amen, somebody. Whew. Oh, God. They remembered not the multitude, listen, of thy mercies. And, of course, this readily leads on to a sad, let's say, consummation of rebellion. They remembered not the multitudes of his mercies. They forgot all about them. You know what follows that? Provocation, and a provocation follows upon the forgetfulness. I mean, the inward faults, they start to display themselves in outward offenses. Now, you were just looking at this material. Now that you were just saying, oh, I'd like to punch that guy out. And you didn't give it over to the Lord. And all of a sudden, the situation comes where you're confronted by the person or by that sin that so easily besets you. And it's in your heart and it has consumed you. And what happens? Under the trial, you fail. And the next time you go 7 months instead of 6 months. And try a little harder not to sin. Because you don't understand that. Sin is sin. This is something you can play with or something you and yourself can control. It is of the Lord and God's grace to deliver you. They provoked him at the sea, it says, even the Red Sea. And so let's begin at the very beginning. Want of understanding of God's wonders is the source of sin. The wonders that God wrought in this particular passage in Egypt were exceedingly great, and they were very instructive. The 10 plagues that it talks about were memorable. I believe they were master strokes of God's judgments upon the proud and the notable displays of his favors, let's say, upon the oppressed. They were a lesson. Know how Egypt staggered under the blows of God's hand, one plague after another, and oh, how the Pharaoh was humbled. And each plague taught a lesson. But they taught a lesson, but they were dull of hearing, dull in understanding. The Bible says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. And I believe in this story we see this to be true. For at first when God began to work for them, they were so busy with their present that they complained to Moses. They couldn't see past their noses. They said, hey, look at Pharaoh's going to get real mad at us. He has increased our toil. And here's what the Pharaoh had to say. Ye hinder the people from their works. Get you unto your burdens. And then they said, hey, now we haven't even gotten any straw. Now look what kind of a fix you got us into, you dummy. All leaders, you do suffer sometimes for telling the truth. Say amen, somebody. Now look what you've done. And then the people said, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of the Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword into their hands to slay us. Oh, I looked at that and I said, oh boy, isn't that the way it goes? They blamed their friends Moses and Aaron for the cruel fault of the enemy. God was teaching the enemy a lesson, but these people were so caught up in their own little stink that they didn't even see in God's workings. They were dull in their understanding. And I thought, oh, how wretchedly we act along the same lines. We complain about God. And when in his own gracious dealings with us has caused us to have some kind of an inward grief, we start to complain with God. Now, grief isn't all bad. And being found out isn't all bad. Because inside of you is your own little Egypt. And God wants you to deliver you out of your own little Egypt. And so he's going to cause things to happen in there that ain't going to be too pleasant to the flesh. And people are going to say, whoa, there's an Egyptian amongst us. Wow, filth, degradation on two legs. Ooh, yuck, huh? And so God has to cause some things to befall us, and we don't understand. God, why this and why that? Why is it happening to me? You're being delivered. Don't be too heavy on people when they're being delivered. And they're all weak, and they're all beaten down, and they're coming up out. And they're having a hard time, and they're into all kinds of sin, and they're being delivered out of there. They're going to get so fed up with Egypt, they're going to want to get out of there. Say amen, somebody. They're going to call upon the name of the Lord. So many times we, hey, brother or sister, oh, you filthy bucket of stench. Huh? And they're going through a deliverance. I've been through three or four of them this week. Haven't you? Praise to God, if you have been, that's the way it should be. Say amen, somebody. And I'm not talking about open, wantonly sin. I'm not talking about sex and booze and smoking cigarettes and dope and all that old kind of thing you people on the radio think I'm talking about. I'm talking about my sin nature. Talking about desires to want to do those things. Say amen, somebody. Tell the truth and get free. My God, that's just delivering you out of your old Egypt. Ooh. And so he begins to show us our sin nature, and it's a necessary thing. Ooh. But then we kick against it, don't we? You're sitting, you first get saved, you're sitting in church, and you've had this 2 weeks to 3 weeks of heaven, and you're praising the Lord. Everybody's giving you all kinds of advice on how to be a Christian and everything. You're taking it all in. You go to 14,000 meetings. You've read 14,000 little pamphlet books from every faith ministry and claimant ministry and prosperity teaching there is. God, you've been to everything. You're a giant in the Lord. You're sitting in church, and some filthier than filthy thought comes right into your mind while you're sitting there. You, the spiritual giant that was climbing high in God, and probably in a couple of years you've been ruling the world. Well, I don't know where these preachers get their kind of preaching, but that's the way it is. It is, isn't it? Yeah. Start to exalt yourself. Don't we, when you first get saved, and people say, boy, have you grown. Where did you get all this wisdom and knowledge? Boy, you're certainly of God. Now, I'll tell you something, person. If you're really of God, God's going to show yourself. You're going to want to run behind a rock, crawl underneath it, and hide. But you see, it all is God's grace, isn't it? Oh, if we could teach it's only the grace of God, and people would believe it. Stop wondering and stop frustrating the grace of God by asking all kinds of questions. God, we ask him all the time, don't we? So the Lord takes away your self-confidence now. You're sitting there and you get this horrendous, filthy, X-rated thought. Okay? God, that's not me. I just never have any kind of bad thoughts. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And they will be if you keep that kind of talk up. We act like there ain't no sin around. There's sin around. Say amen, somebody. It's around. You better beware of it. How many hearing this? So you're sitting there and you get this great big old X-rated movie thought. Huh? And so now you lose your self-confidence. You weren't supposed to have any in the first place, see? But these people all puffed you up and told you, God, you're a giant God. You're a David if I ever seen one. You're Mount Carmel, hey, name it, you are it. And you're sitting there and you're feeling, no, I'm not. Now I've got to lift up. I've lost my self-confidence. How can I? I can't even pick up the stone. My hands are quivering and trembling so badly. And everybody thinks I'm a giant. Well, tell them you're not, okay? Tell them you're weak and mad. And God has shown you that you can't make it but by his grace. And you don't know nothing. Careful when you know something, think you know something, know nothing at all, the Bible says. Know nothing. I'd rather know nothing at all and have God say, hey, I'm going to show you something here now, huh? You say, why are you crawling up them stairs so slow? I'm thinking. Full of unbelief. When we saw sin, that it was as much bondage within us as those that were in Egypt. I said, oh God, deliver us. God, I got to get out of here. Let him take me out of this Egypt, Lord. Ooh. And then the Lord lays one little old finger on us and we complain. One finger of deliverance. What's going on, God? I was so happy. I was going along real great. Now you put your hand on me.
I have no more self-confidence. I feel like committing suicide. I feel like giving it up. God, why'd I even become a Christian? Now I got you chasing me, the devil chasing me. I don't know if it's the flesh, the sin, the devil. I don't know. I've read all these books. I don't know if it's spirits that are translating themselves over to me or in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee and don't get into all that spiritual bypass junk. Oh, God. Ooh, help us, Lord. How else would we feel our need for redemption? And how else would we praise the Lord? Less than that we would see ourselves as we really are. And if the Lord lays one finger on you, don't complain. See it as love. See it as an affliction, if you will, an affliction of love. But we don't. We complain and cry out to God. I was better off before I got saved. Really, I mean it. No, I'm not popular. Nobody wants to talk to me. I'm really not spiritual. I wonder if I'm even saved. Now, when you talk like that, that means you really are saved. If the finger and the hand of the Lord is on top of you and you've been under conviction, you're losing all of your self-confidence. Huh? All of your buckle-down, windsocky attitudes, you got to go out the window and you got to buckle down and read your Bible. Praise the Lord, pray and fast, and believe God to deliver you out of the land of Egypt. Say amen, even if it does take 400 years. But instead, we murmur and we complain and we say, is this the love of God to His chosen? Is it? Look at the way people are treating me. I hear you patches on there. Says the Bible, beware when all men treat you well. That's one I don't have to worry about. You preach like I do, you don't have to worry about everybody liking you. Say amen, somebody. Oh, maybe they will down the road, I don't know. Who cares? Praise God, I'm God's man, not my man, and not somebody else's man, just God's man. I hope to be, by the grace of God, I hope I am. I know I am by the grace of God. My hope lies in the Lord, not in myself. But were you trying to convince yourself? Yes. I am fully persuaded that He is able to keep me under that hour because I found out that I can't do it. My fathers understood not His wonders in Egypt. Now I believe we also judge by the feelings of the present and we forget the eternal future. We'll say, well, hey, things don't look too good right now. Is this the way God, is this God's workings? 2, 3, 4 weeks. I mean, I claimed at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. That was months ago. Where is it? Where is that promise of deliverance? You weren't ready for it yet. You got to get pride out of the way. You got to get yourself out of the way. There's iniquities in your heart. There's all kinds of sins that have to be cleared away. And all these things God has to do just to answer that one little selfish prayer of yours. And by the time that He answers you, you'll be so changed, you'll know it's a selfish prayer. How many have found out that they prayed very selfishly after they'd grown? I have. Like a little kid, we pray with no understanding. Huh? God, I want $1 million. I claim it. $1 million. And I promise I'll give you, well, not only 10%, 25 or 50% even, Lord. Doesn't God make it crystal clear? And doesn't God make it plain? See, unbelief, I believe, does not hear the rod. It's too busy rubbing its little present bumps and owies. Because if you heard what the rod was saying, and you understood what the rod was trying to teach you, you wouldn't be so consumed with your present afflictions. your little welts and your little present always. Why? Why did this have to happen? What a lousy day this was. Hey, you needed a lousy day to deliver you out of your lousy Egypt. You are a stinker. I mean, you are a stinker, and that's why everybody is turning on you, because God is delivering you out of your Egypt that way. And it seems like nobody likes you. Doesn't anybody love me? Doesn't anybody care? Huh? Doesn't anybody love me? Doesn't anybody care? Huh? Oh, it is the workings of the Holy Ghost to deliver you. People found you out. How many have been found out? My God, I have. Praise the Lord. How many have been found out? Whew. Over and over and over again. Does it ever stop? No. Boy, it's quiet in here. See, we become so busy with our immediate comfort that we don't understand the great plans of divine grace. And the kingdom of self is there. It takes precedent over the kingdom of God, don't you see? Oh, when deliverance comes, receive it with joy and dancing, hallelujah, and say, praise the Lord, God has delivered me, he has revealed iniquity that's in my heart by me actually working it out. And even if you've fallen into sin, say amen. You told people to go out and sin. No, I didn't tell them to go out and sin, but I know that they do, and I know that they're listening on the radio, and I know that there's some sitting in here that have. Did it show you anything? And of course it did. But further on, we find out that Israel broke down because of utter hopelessness. When you're being delivered, and then something heavy comes on you, and you sort of have a breakdown. You just break down. You know, you're like you're all wound up when you first get saved. And you unwind. And you're hopeless. And you're helpless. And you're down, and you're blue. Nobody likes me, God, nobody likes me. Nobody's going to like you, no. That is not the point. It's Christ in you that they're going to love. Nobody likes me, they all call me, everybody says I'm, you know, they say I'm this and they say I'm that. How many have felt that way? How many hearing this? You know what's happening? You're being delivered. Did you ever have a lousy day when everything was going wrong? Hey, what a day. Everybody's snapping at me. And you start to lose your own self-confidence and your own self-esteem before you were carrying yourself so erectly. Gowns flowing and all that, and now all of a sudden you've lost it. You feel like you've got a gunny sack on and great big old moccasins that are four times too big, slopping around in them, feeling useless and filthy and all that. It's just God delivering you. It's not much fun, though, is it? First the sorrow and then the joy. First, the walking through the sand and then over into the land of Canaan. And Moses spoke to them again. He said, they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Moses tried to tell them again, and they hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish of their spirit, the Bible says, and they were just anguished in their spirit.
And so there the Bible tells us they were brutally crushed by the Egyptians. And they lost all heart. How many people just lose their heart? I've lost the heart for this job. So many preachers are saying now, they've taken the heart right out of me. Taken my heart. They've taken the heart right out of me, God. These people, God, I haven't got the heart to get up and give one more message. I haven't got the heart to get up and look at them. I haven't got the heart. No, that's right. You haven't got the heart. You hate every one of them. But you can feel that way, can't you? Slavery has killed their manhood, don't you see? Moses said, I have come to deliver you. And they said, sure, fine, great. Get out. You ever talk to somebody that's in Egypt and they're down while they're in Egypt? Oh, I heard that before. Get away from me. And I believe many now in our Christian world are so down, so depressed, they can't believe in salvation. Last week I went down on the hobo run. When I got down there, I knew it was the Lord. So before I went down, I said, Lord, I would like to dedicate every Tuesday and every Wednesday to your service. And by your grace, I will not fail. I knew that was the way to pray because I hadn't been going down. When I got down there, I saw most of the people dragging their chains behind them. No hope, dull of hearing. Their Pharaoh was alcohol, and their Pharaoh was drugs and mental illness and hurt and fear. They all had them bound, don't you see? And now we need a place to take them. That night, four and five at a time came up and got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. 21 people come to know Jesus that night. And you know, just that very day I was humbled and I found out I was not sin-free. And I found out all my thoughts were not pure as the driven snow. Just that morning, a guy came up and he drove up and he drug garbage down and he dropped it off right in front of the church, a big bag, and it popped open. And I walked over to the car. I said, what are you doing? And he got enraged with me. He started jumping up and down and vibrating. And, well, I was as cool as a cucumber. No, I wasn't. He jumped in his car and he drove up the alley and I chased his car. That's the truth. You know, the grace of God kept me. And he got out of his car and he just started... He started winding on me and cussing me and swearing and all kinds of things. And he was talking in Mexican. He was just going at it. And then his son looked out the window, and his son filled up the whole window. So they were talking in this foreign language, and I started talking in Greek. And I was humbled. No matter how I tried to tell myself it was all right and that no way, no man can come up and drop garbage right in front of God's house. I went in my office and I was miserable. Really miserable. But it humbled me and it showed me that I was, after all, no better than a sinner saved by grace. And I went down and the Lord used me to save 21 people. Otherwise, I would have just, probably looked at them as garbage. Maybe secretly in the back of your mind, that's what you think, ain't it? Is this doing any good giving these people a word? What does the Bible say? It says, sow the seed. It doesn't say, lift up the ground and peek at it every 4 or 5 seconds. But I was really aware of my sin nature. And I was really praising God that I didn't get into it down there, because in my old nature, I would have picked up all those bags of garbage and thrown them in the air, ripped them open and thrown them all over the house. But I didn't do that, so the grace of God was working somewhat in my life, wasn't it? It kept me. Oh, God. Whew. So down, so depressed, and you know, we get to thinking that, hey, we've got it made. And we need a place for these guys when they come in, you know, for a place of restoration. Place where you can get into an intense ministry and live in. Just go on in there and live in. And I would live in a couple days a week. I would just go live in there. I'd be the guy that woke the bugler up. Huh? And just be that intense preacher that would teach people to get up out of bed in the morning and go to work. Huh? Not as a judgmental thing, but as a thing of love. Be that intense person, a place where people could be restored. And so see people, these people, even though they saw the plagues on Egypt, which were mercies on Israel, the plagues on Egypt were mercies on Israel. They did not enter into the teaching. This was a teaching, but they didn't enter in because they were caught up with their own personal present situation. You'd think they would have said, "Now I understand. Who is like unto thee, O Jehovah God?" They should have seen his sovereignty, shouldn't they have? When the flies came, when God spoke, the lice came, and when God spoke, the locusts came, and when God spoke, the caterpillars, it says, without numbers came, and when God spoke, the water turned to blood, and the dust turned into creeping things, and the heavens, it said, were set on fire, and the habitations of men were darkened. Were they odd? Why, no. They murmured against God and declared he could not deliver them. And yet I believe we don't know his power so as to trust his might. I don't believe we know his power as to trust his might, nor his sovereignty so as to rejoice in his, faithfulness. And oh, I thought what a little understanding we really do have after so many teachings over and over and over and over again. How shallow we have become and how dull of hearing. And I thought to myself, that's, brother, is because it truly comes. And all teaching must come from the Holy Ghost. The tribes of Israel, we're seeing here, didn't see in all this the claim which the Lord had upon them, and listen to it. And it happened before he proclaimed the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And we read in the Bible where his love marked their houses. And we read in the Bible where none of their cattle were lost. And they still didn't understand his love. And they still didn't understand his power. And they still didn't understand his protection. I believe we then also are very slow to recognize him as Lord of all. Say that word all. All. We are slow to see that God is all in all, and that he is our all. We are slow to see that.
And I believe that people didn't see that their God, by all his wonders, was pledging himself to them. When God deals with me, actually what he's doing is pledging himself to me. And after doing so much for them, he would not leave them. He had done all these things. Would he bring them out of the land of Egypt and then leave them at the Red Sea to die? And I believe it says in the Bible they dared to have this very suspicion. Oh, the slander of unbelief. How many times do we do this? He'll fail us. I just know God is going to let us down. Our faith will be disappointed. I believe that. And our hearts do it so many times, over and over and over again. And we have to be taught over and over and over again. I thought to myself, will the Lord lose all that he has done in us and for us? No, never. Is he then like the foolish one who began to build and was not able to finish? No. Does the Eternal revoke then his resolves? Of course not. Does the Eternal turn from his purposes? No. Does it not say the strength of Israel will not lie, for he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent? Oh, learn this well if we learn anything. Believer and trust. Right now, I want all the believers to trust in the unchanging God. He never changes. Never. Never. If he delivered you of sin yesterday, won't he deliver you of sin today? Will he leave you at the mouth of the very entrance to the Red Sea after delivering you out of the land of Egypt? No, never. Praise the Lord. He never changes. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a song? He never changes. What makes you think he won't deliver you now? Well, I was really running the race well. I got hindered. I think the fact here was that people were not too deep into spiritual things. The work wasn't really all that heavy in their hearts. They understood, it says, not his wonders in Egypt. I believe it was because their hearts were hardened by their association with the very proud and the very worldly idolaters, and yet I believe it was a very cultured nation, and that they turned aside from the spiritual truth of their fathers. And they kind of desired back that thing again. They saw all the miracles, but only on the surface. They never grabbed the full meaning. What do you think right now of all the things that are happening on this planet Earth? There is a teaching within each thing. Look at homosexuality, where it's taken the world. There's a teaching in that. Look where alcohol has taken. Look where drugs has taken. Look where the greed and the cheating and the lying and all of these things have taken the world. And look at ourselves, that we have the light, glory to God, in this very dark time. And that there is a teaching in all of this, as all things are working together for good. All things. And all these things are happening right now, and there's a great revealing even in ourselves. And there's a teaching in it all. By the Holy Ghost, God is giving us a hard lesson. That'd be like planting corn right on the surface, wouldn't it? It won't take root. Many times people get saved and they never go too deep. Many times they don't understand God. They're not rooted and grounded in love. See, I believe there's a failure of memory. It follows upon the want of understanding.
That's why children so often forget, because they really don't understand. Now, you can tell a kid, now, do you understand what I just said? And they'll shake their head. Well, don't just go by that. Say, now I want to make sure you really understand. I mean, you can irritate them almost so that they're going to say, I understand now. You take the bed and you pull it up like this and you hit it under the pillow like that and you smooth it out and you pull the sheets out and you tuck them under and you tuck it under. Now you got it. Now you got it, sonny boy. Sometimes you have to irritate people into understanding and just don't say, oh, do you understand now? Mm-hmm. No, they don't. No, they don't. They got to be shown the hard way. God says, now do you understand why we can't allow these things to happen? Now do you see what's happened with all the filth, with all the greed, with all the money grabbers? Now do you see what happens when you don't obey the word of God and love your neighbor as you love yourself? Now do you understand that if you don't love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, what'll happen? You'll fall into yourself. Now do you understand? Now do you understand? Now I understand, but help us out of it. I understand. I do. Please. Beginning to know you, beginning to know more about you, huh? The more that I know you, the more that I understand, huh? The more you know God, the more you're going to open up to understanding God. Get to know God. Get to reading your Bible. Get to doing the works of the Lord, hallelujah. Get yourself busy in God. Don't ask too many questions of the world, but questions are faced unto the Lord. And say, oh Lord, guide me and lead me by your grace and show me that iniquity that I don't even know with that's in my own heart, oh God, that I may be delivered out of my own Egypt. Because like I said, failure of memory follows upon the want of understanding. They pass them through the grades right now, and they do not understand not one single solitary thing. And you got a whole bunch of boobs coming out of their school because they don't make them fully understand what 2 and 2 is. So they can't go on. Understand. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you? Do you? Do you understand? A root to 2 to 2. A root to 2 to 2. I do ya, I do ya, I do ya, I do ya. Repetition. When they taught them years ago, they used to hold up cards and they said 8 and 8 is 64. It's imprinted in my mind. 8 and 8, 8 and 8, 8 and 8, 8 and 8, 64, 64, 60. It was in my mind. Yes, 64! And now they say, 8 and 8 is 64, but it really doesn't matter. All things are relative. They're all related one way or another somehow. Oh, you go try to make cash on that. Oh, here's about $15 or so back. It's all relative. And you're not a relative of that company anymore. You are fired. Get out. We don't want to be related to you at all. Out. Understand what I'm saying? Oh, you have to have it taught over and over and over again. And then you have to say, do you understand that you got to come to church, that you got to read your Bible, that you got to believe the Word of God, that you have to move in faith? Do you understand that you are a sinner? Oh, God, and I still hear people praying, go, Lord, help them nasty sinners out there in the world. And as brother, don't you realize that we're all sinners? But no, you know, I have been delivered of all. That's negative. I know, we're living in negative bodies with a positive God. You hearing this? Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? You have to ask yourself that. Do you understand? Do you understand? You can do anything but for the grace of God. I understand. How many understand? You, for the grace of God, you could do anything. Hitlers, little Hitlers running around. See, we have to come to that point. No, I'm not giving you license to sin. I'm giving you lessons on how to get out of it. Trusting in the Lord. The capacity, I've said here tonight, for forgetting in some children is amazing. See, if they have no understanding, it doesn't stick up here in their brain. And I think that a lot of kids have a capacity for forgetting. I just told you that. How could you forget it? They got a great capacity for forgetting. You know why? They never understood it. And what they don't fully understand, they're going to forget, because when you understand it, understanding means it's going to stand in there, stand under. It's going to be standing in there. Understanding in there. Going to be in there, locked in there. Huh? How many heard this? Now, Junior, do you understand that you can't take this knife and plunge it at yourself? No, baby, don't take the fork and poke at yourself. Huh? Ow! Now do you understand? Bad fork, huh? Now the kid understands, right? How many times you have to stick yourself with a fork before you understand? How many heard this? Oh, God. Are you getting anything out of this? Come on, put your hands up. You're getting something out of it. And even as I minister, even amongst the grown people, they have splendid memories for forgetting. We all have memories, but I'm going to forget this. Oh, God. Splendid memories for forgetting. What was that? Oh, I didn't catch that. Oh, I didn't remember anybody saying anything like that. He did? She did? They did? Oh, I don't recollect. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. Don't jump off the IDS building. Really? I didn't hear it. Huh? How many warnings do we have to have? You know how many warnings you need to have? Every day you have to have warnings from the Holy Ghost. And then what you learn, then you have to teach others. And when you teach others, you learn yourself. And now you really learn it. Because you're going to say, do you understand what I just said? Do you? Come on. Repeat that to me now. Don't get too prideful. Do you understand that now? Do you understand why you can't drive the car at 100 miles an hour? Sean? Look at the front end. You're going to work for 10 years to pay for that accident. Now do you understand? Yes, I understand. Not yet. Didn't quite get dull of hearing. And you know, I just got done talking to that kid. I'm just using. Did you know you were going 85 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone? Here's the ticket. Zip. Now do you understand? and you're driving along about 2 weeks later. Woo! Pull your car over. Pull your car over the curb. Can't be talking to me. Pull your car over. Did you realize you were going 95 in the 35 zone? Zip. Now do you understand? Oh, boy, that Brooklyn Park or that Wisconsin, they're really hard on people. Never go through that area. I'm going to go around the other way. You drive around the other way. Woo! Realize that I broke my speedometer catching you? In the 35-mile-an-hour zone, zip. Now do you understand? You know where you end up at? The dum-dum school. Because you didn't understand. Right? You get down there, then the teacher's going to say, now do you understand? You get your insurance papers. Now do you understand? They revoke your license. Now do you understand? How many times do we have to learn? No, we really didn't understand, did we? But now we understand. Ooh. They understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. Mercies should be remembered. How unthankful we are. I started thinking about the mercies that God has shown me. And I thought, God, there's multitudes of them. Ooh, multitudes of thy mercies. Lord, I'm going to remember those and be thankful. Thank God for his light in this darkened world. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. They endure forever. Mercies multiplied should never be forgotten. Look at Israel. One mercy after another. I can see forgetting one, but over and over and over, and mercy after mercy, and tons of mercies, and people forget about them. And they're doing wrong, and they're walking by in a piano. Bam! Right behind them. Mercy of God. Boy, was I ever lucky. And time after time after time, God can show us mercy upon mercy upon mercy, and we don't understand. They understood not the multitude of thy mercies. That means they remembered of the Lord a little. It says, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. I remember a couple, one time in 1948. I guess there's a couple times that God did. They sang, but when the song was over, don't you see, their memories failed. Well, I can't really say that I received so many mercies in my life. Seemed like I've had a hard time, most of it. And God has given them mercy after mercy. And they even dance around the golden calf, the Bible says. Oh, God. When I was on the hobo run here, I finally realized that I hadn't remembered the full mercies of the Lord. And I pulled this little gal in, another guy in, a couple of beautiful Indian people, and pulled them in, and the girl had her nose, but she was a pretty girl. And she had her nose bent over, and had some scars on her, and the guy was all scarred up. And I pulled him in, and she started weeping on me. She was tired. And she was sick. And I thought to myself, oh, God, you have been so merciful to me. Multitudes of mercies you have given me. Oh, I remember now when the booze breath come floating up into my nostrils and I said, oh, now I remember your mercy. Now I do. Then a group of four guys come around. He says, this guy got out and he says, well, you know, I'm 62 years old. And he started talking about the Second World War. I was about 10 years old when that was going on, at the beginning of it. And so, but I was working in the cafe, so I understood a lot of it. I always read the paper. So I was up on all that. And this guy was from the Second World War. He says, here's a Marine sitting here. And here's a Navy man. Here's a doggy. Here's an Army guy. And were you in the Army, says the other guy. And there's all four of them. They were veterans from the Second World War, so they were in their 60s. And a guy says, well, now, he says, I've got to make it until a certain time. He says, you see, I'm 62 years old, but I gotta wait, so I can't get any kind of aid now. They're cutting all that aid back. Did you know that? They're not going to be any more general assistance, no matter what the reason. And he says, I just came into town, and they said, no, you haven't lived here long enough. So he says, I haven't got any kind of thing to live on. But he says, that's all right. We've made it before. We'll make it again. And I started talking to these guys about their war stories. So we started exchanging war stories and talking to them. I talked about Korea. They talked about the Germany and the Battle of the Bulge and the France and all this kind of thing like that. And we started sharing. And all of a sudden, you know, we were in a circle. And we started to praise the Lord. And I led all four of those guys to the Lord. That was just fantastic. Because I remembered the mercies of the Lord on my own scungy self. And even those that had mercies God had shown me through the week. Say amen. Chasing a man up the alley and all this whole kind of thing. You know what I mean. Say amen, somebody. I'm closing. Give me a minute. I had a flashback. I remembered the mercies of the Lord. And even that last night when sin and a deliverance from it came fully upon my mind, upon what God had done for me, I was humbled. And I was also saddened at my own lack of praise to the Lord. Woke up even this morning and I thought, you know what, I feel lousy. I need to pray for God's grace and I need to start praising the Lord. I need to thank him for taking me out of my own personal little Egypt. But then Israel didn't remember God's mercies more powerful enough. If they would have, they wouldn't have paid attention to the cracking of the whip and the thundering of the chariots and the whinnying of the horses. They wouldn't have become fearful, but they didn't remember it. They were not practical. Some people hate that when you use the word practical. They say, well, that means work. And so their lives weren't affected. True gratitude shows itself always in acts and deeds. When you're really grateful for what the Lord has done for you, you're going to show it in your actions and in your deeds. You can't help but do things for God for all that he's done for you. It's going to show up. You say, God, I'm so grateful. Oh, what can I do for you, Lord? What will you allow me to do? And you won't complain that I'm doing the whole thing. God, doesn't anybody ever come to help me? Help! Help! I have learned so much from being down here on the north side that I'll never be able to give enough back to the north side. God's lessons have been hard, and God's lessons have been many, and I believe surely that now I understand that he is the God of all grace and all mercy, and I will gladly, by his grace, give my life to the north side and to all of these so-called base, perverted things of the world. Hallelujah. Well, I wouldn't want to be nowhere else, praise God, because where God put you, that's where you want to be. And you want to be faithful, found doing his work, and be practical for the Lord. Just be a practical vessel. Huh.
be a vessel that's filled with water? Oh, but there's the water pots, and six of them representing man. But they're just water in them. And when God pours His Word, the water of His Word in you, it becomes the new wine of the Spirit. And then you become a very practical vessel. And you pour out mercy and grace. And He even used the fermentation of all those things and the fertilizer of the dead self in there to cause a fermentation, if you will, to bring about the grace and the glory of the Lord through a delivered servant. And you pour out that new wine of the Spirit upon others, and it's always mercy, grace, and forgiveness to others that God has put in you. You'll be caused to pour out on others. And they'll say, truly, this is a work of the Lord. This man has been delivered, hallelujah. And this man is being delivered, hallelujah. How many are hearing this message? Whew. Whew. Oh, God, thank you for the work that you cause us to do down here. Thank you, Lord, that we can grow and love you progressively. Progressively love you. And the older we get, and the more that we're tried by God, the more progressively we move in God, the more we progress in His love, we get to love God more. And so they provoked God. They provoked Him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Why is it that when we are delivered so many times in so many ways by God, that when we are finally at the crossover place, let's call it, we halt in unbelief? Let's see, I wonder if His might is enough. I wonder if His blood is strong enough to conquer this sin that's in my life. Scarcely were they saved out of Egypt, and they began to complain, and we do the same, delivered. Deliverance comes while walking through the desert, doesn't it? But some of us stopped to sin right there in this desert. Are you getting this picture? Here they were, and they provoked God, and God wanted it to... And not only that, they were singing a song, and it really provoked God. Do you know what they were singing? I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider He hath thrown into the sea. And you know what they did then? They sat down and they bawled. No onions and no leeks. And haven't many of us done that? Oh, yes, we have. We just get, God takes us through a great deliverance, and we're feeling so great, and we passed over, and we fall out. And we forget about the many multitude mercies of God. We forget all about it. One minute, some people are banging on the high-sounding cymbals, and the next they are looking for a mouse hole to hide their miserable, unbelieving heads in. One minute, they snatch up Gabriel's horn, and they blow it until their eyes bug out, and they turn all purple, and the people are cheering and jumping, and they lay down the horn. You know what happens? They fall over in a manure heap of sadness and stink and unbelief, because they forgot about the mercies and the multitude mercies of God that endureth forever. Isn't that the way it is when we're the strongest in our faith? We give up in God. Oh, no, I will never. I got faith now. I'll never leave God. Oh, just, oh, I'm rocky. Da-da-da, da-da-da, da. And the next picture, we're laying down on the mat. All this makes me admire God all the more. All this makes me say, hey, God's grace is sufficient. I'm not going to stop at the little mud puddles and call them oceans. I'm going to bounce over. And if I was to happen to fall in that mud puddle, God is going to raise me up and wash me off and say, hey, do you understand now? Do you understand? You can do nothing without me. You can't even jump over a little mud hill. I want you to close your eyes right now, every one of you. Everyone, close your eyes. Tonight we're going to cross over
a place where our sins are going to be buried. We're going to cross over the Red Sea. You see, we're right there now, where we're right on the edge of our deliverance. The Red Sea lies just ahead of us. And God's multitude of miracles are still fresh in our minds. Think about all the things that God has done for you. Think about the many deliverances that God has taken you through and is taking you through right now. Don't pay any attention to these tactics of Satan, those noisy chariots that are coming. Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praise Him. Woo! Don't pay any attention to those noisy chariots and them horses and those shouts of, "You're finished, give up," and all those snorting horses and all those clouds of dust. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh, and see the God rod part the waters. Come on into the waters and enter in and cross over and see the sea closing in on all, over and engulfing all your enemies, every one of them thrown into the sea. He have triumphed gloriously, gloriously. Thank you, Lord. See that tonight and see it be done once and forever. He hath done it. And see that our God of all mercy, that it endureth forever, and He's going to take you through. And that sin that so easily besets you listening on the radio tape or in here tonight, God will deliver you of it.